Well, we're kicking off this week's episode with a huge congratulations to Pochki, which was just named one of the 47 best restaurants in the country by USA Today.
Woo!
If you have not been over to Pochki, get out from underneath your rock. Go over there, check it out. Everything there is good. Keenan, I know we've been there a couple times together. I mean, you want to talk a little bit about what earned them this honor?
Oh, yeah. I love it so much. Everything is delicious there, from the babkas to the Lux Bialys are just phenomenal. One of the best restaurants in the city, in the state. I stand by that.
In the South, in the country. I mean, that's what this this list was all about. And it got us thinking once the list came out, you know, while we are super stoked that Pochki is on the list, there are also some other restaurants around Knoxville that we wish could have made the list. And you can go over to knoxnews.com to read our story about the ones that we wish made the cut. But we're going to talk about just a few of those here on the podcast today, and also talk about what this major success for Pochki could mean for the greater food scene. I think you hear a lot about, in certain industries, especially the beer industry, about how that success trickles down. Does that happen in the food industry, and where exactly is Knoxville's food scene going? We talked about here on the show some exciting concepts that are in the works, some more that are right around the corner, including some that Keenan, you have reported on. I guess let's go ahead and introduce ourselves before we get started. I'm Ryan Willis, downtown growth and development reporter at Knox News.
I'm Keenan Thomas, the higher education reporter, as well as a growth and development reporter.
And this is the Scruffy Stuff, a podcast about all the news happening in and around downtown Knoxville. And to get started, where do we want to go? I mean, we could talk a little bit more about Pochki, although I would encourage everybody to head on over to, like I said, knoxnews.com or over to USA Today and check out all of the restaurants that made the list. But definitely, you know, whenever we were thinking about which restaurants make sense to nominate from Knoxville, we thought through a couple. Pochki made the cut. For some of the reasons we just spoke of course, the food is one thing. The Lox Bialy, yes, you mentioned, is phenomenal.
But also that they've had like an interesting story of starting up as a pop-up, getting a one-year lease for a spot that was a former coffee shop, and then just kind of seemingly just naturally becoming one of the hot spots downtown. Got a lot of coverage from us, got some national coverage over in New York Times. Like, it's been a big deal, and for it to finally get like a really good recognition here is just feels like a big milestone.
Yeah, a long time coming, I would say too. I mean, even though they've only been around for a short time, it was pretty clear early on that this was not going to be a pop-up. It kept getting the support that it got in the early days, and it seems that momentum has continued. So when I start thinking about restaurants that we wish made the list, I know I wrote a story over at Knox News. I know you included in the Urban Knoxville newsletter some that you wish made the cut. Before we start talking about sort of the state of the food scene, I think part of what makes the food scene, of course, obviously so good, is the variety of restaurants. So there's a lot to choose from. Keenan, what were some that you thought of?
I'm going to go first with a Pochki adjacent restaurant with a Dopo sourdough pizza just north of downtown. Excellent food, incredible atmosphere. One that, like, the few times I've gone, I've been just extremely impressed with. One time I did do the trust fall, which is where they pick out the pizza, the wine, the gelato, everything. And it was just impeccable. Like, one of the best restaurants in the city, by and large. And, like, if you haven't gone, like, what are you doing? Especially because it's been around for a few years now. It's just utterly delicious.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I did. And it's weird. I think the other one that's on your list is also one that's, you know, it's been a restaurant like a Dopo that has been on my radar for a long time. It wasn't until relatively recently that I had the chance to actually sit down and enjoy it. You know, it's one of those places where you need a reservation most times just because it is so popular. And, you know, I think, you know, pizza, really need a reservation. It's that good. And the atmosphere, too. I mean, for it being a pizza restaurant, you go at night, it's a great date night spot. So I'm with you. That one was on my list. But to name my first one, that I wish could have made the cut, I'm going to pull one that didn't actually make it onto my list originally, that I got to try for the first time recently. It's kind of fresh on the mind. But Amelia on Market Square, went there for Valentine's Day with my wife and had just a phenomenal meal. It's one of those that's been around a little bit longer. And I think when we talk here in a little bit about the state of the food scene here in Knoxville, and specifically downtown Knoxville, we're going to talk a little bit about the new wave of restaurants that have come in. Amelia's been one of those that's been around for a while, that's been sort of a staple on Market Square. And I will say, you know, you're going to be surprised that I'm raving about this of all things there at the restaurant. But the simple bowl of olives that was waiting, that I ordered on the table as an appetizer, along with the bread, delicious. These, I mean, and people talk about these olives too. These warm olives that could be purchased as an appetizer. But the pasta dishes that I had, not normally my speed, but went with a vegan mushroom and pine nut pasta that was absolutely delicious. And then, you know, the wife went with the carbonara, which was delicious. And yeah, it's just one of those. I mean, the atmosphere is fantastic too, being on Market Square, typically a lively place, but feeling still intimate and secluded and in your own space. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and there's a reason it's been around for a while too. I think it's one of those that's popular with locals for sure.
If you want an extra reason to go, I took my girlfriend for her birthday in December, and she told me the other day that she still thinks about the pasta dish that she got there.
There you go. So. Yeah, I'm still thinking about it. We're just, you know, not quite as far away, but about a week off Valentine's Day now, and I'm still talking about it. So, but Keenan, I think we said we're going to do two. So what's your other one?
My other one is a South Knox staple with Landing House, one of the best Asian restaurants in town. I've tried something new every time I've gone, including one of our picks for our favorite dishes of last year, the chili crisp noodles. Just incredible food. Also fun atmosphere because it's in a house. So you get to sit next to like a fireplace in what felt like a living room while they're serving you just delicious meals. I brought y'all, you and your wife, there recently for your first time.
Oh, yeah.
And the buns that they made that day were just incredible. Like, I'm still thinking about it, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. Those buns were, those were good buns. I enjoyed those. That was the highlight of the meal, was the appetizer, kind of similar to Amelia with the olives. I'm going to keep it going with another one that wasn't on either one of our lists, I don't think. And I'm going to say Schultz Brau, which is going to maybe surprise some people.
That is an interesting pick.
Yeah, just because, you know, it's a, it's primarily a brewery. But I've been super impressed with their food program over the past few years as that kitchen has grown. I was going to put Jig and Reel as my pick. That is one that made it on my list. And these restaurants that we're mentioning, I mean, we only have so much time here on the podcast, right? That if you want the full list, that's why we always encourage you to head on over to Knox News or check out the Urban Knoxville newsletter, which there's a link to that in our description of the podcast, that newsletter that Keenan and I both write. But Schultz Brau didn't make it on either one of those lists, but the more I'm thinking about it, where can you get authentic German beer, for one? Mm-hmm. Schultz Brau. I mean, it's one of the few places. Or authentic German food. And Schultz Brau's that place. I have relatively recently been introduced to schnitzel. It's been it's something that sounds like it would be right up my alley. You think would have made its way into my life a little bit sooner. And the various krauts that they have and the spätzle. I mean, it's just these things that, you know, especially this time of year, I just love, like, and that's probably part of the reason I'm mentioning it. When it's cold outside, there's something about sitting outside by a fire and enjoying a warm plate of German food like that with the gravy and the eggs and its filling.
Oh, their schnitzel's on another level.
Yeah, it's so good. And even for, I think it was it Thanksgiving or Christmas? I can't remember.
Christmas.
I want to say it was Christmas. You know, me and my wife, her mother had COVID and couldn't go out and do, you know, like a family dinner. And so we got a special from Schultz Brau that was like a full plate of, you know, meats and sides and a slice of pie as well. They put it to go in a pizza box for me. They even have pizza. So I think it's just one of those places that, yeah, I wish could have made the list because of, one, its environment is unlike any other. It's types of food that it has you just don't see every day. And it's one of those, you know, it feels very comforting. And I think I have a special place in my heart, right, for comfort food. Again, we're just scratching the surface right here, but wanted to mention a few of these so we can get the conversation sort of rolling a little bit about, you know, what does this recent honor from Pachki or for Pachki say about the current state of our food scene when we think about that honor, in addition to, you know, we just named four restaurants here, but we have a whole list online that talks about the variety of food that we have here. Man, 47, right, out of the whole entire country. That's not even one per state. And one of them was in Knoxville. It's pretty incredible.
I feel like that speaks well, though, to the variety that we have in Knoxville. You can walk down Gay Street, and there's five different restaurants that are all worth trying and all incredible meals to have. That's what always astounds me, is whenever I'm picking, I'm like, what do I want? Do I want Italian? Do I want Asian? Do I want French now with Lilu?
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to talk about Lilu, actually. And, you know, this conversation is actually perfect timing because we had a job candidate in, and, you know, we give like a tour of Knoxville. And one thing I'm always encouraging is like, do you have any, you know, ask questions about the job? Yes. But what are, you know, some personal questions, personal interests? And they're asking about just sort of the diversity of food here. And for me, I mean, and I've talked about this on the podcast before, and you'll hear longtime downtown residents and frequenters say that, you know, downtown used to be burgers and barbecue and beer, and now we have all these different kinds of concepts. And it might not be like we're in a Nashville or like some, you know, big New York City where you have all these, you know, multiple options of food, but there is just about one of everything, right? If not, you know, one at the minimum. There is a place for any type of food, I think, that you want in Knoxville, which is one of the many things, you know, taking this to the next level about what I like about Knoxville in general, right, is that it's still that big city, small town kind of feel where you have the, you know, you have these things that you can try out without being overcrowded or oversaturated or, you know, too busy of a scene.
I mean, we have a place where you can go get haggis, so.
Yes, chicken like. Reel, which I wanted on my list because specifically of the haggis and the neeps and tatties. But yeah, so, I mean, there's definitely a lot more diversity. And, you know, one thing that I think is interesting is just the fact that we have Blackberry Farm Resort so close by. And it's one of those places that's always on national destination lists and always winning awards for their quality of service there. Part of that resort is the culinary program. And so you have a lot of chefs that make their way, kind of use Blackberry Farm over in Wallen as sort of a training grounds, and then come to Knoxville either to work as a chef in a kitchen or to work their way up and maybe start their own concept. I mean, you saw that with Pochke. Lawrence Faber is a used to be a pastry chef at Blackberry Farms. You have Joseph Lynn of J.C. Holdway, which J.C. Holdway was on our list, Blackberry Farm alum, and also downtown Knoxville's only James Beard award-winning chef. And so you see a lot of this crossover, which is very interesting and just another one of those reasons. I mean, we talk about if Knoxville doesn't have all the amenities you want, and we were telling this to the job candidate earlier, the amenities are close by, whether it's you can go to another city within a short drive or, you know, we had this awesome resort within a short drive that's feeding into our local food scene here.
But you can also move to Sequoia and go to Platte Apron, which has Drew McDonald from. They went through that culinary program too.
Oh, really? Yeah. And so you'll see that everywhere. Not everywhere, but you'll see, you know, don't be surprised if, you know, the chef at your favorite restaurant at least spent some time over at Blackberry Farm, which is an awesome resource and amenity to have. And I want to talk a little bit too, and Keenan, you would be great to talk about this, the wine craze that has kind of erupted here in Knoxville more so in the past year or two than we've seen really ever. Specifically, I'm thinking about the downtown and downtown adjacent scene. But the reason I bring that up is because you mentioned now we can have a French experience downtown with Lilu opening up on Gay Street. And talking with Aaron Thompson over there at Lilu, he was talking about how, you know, he hopes that Lilu can become a place that can encourage more variety of wine to make its way into the Knoxville market. And here's how he described it to me is like, you know, with having Blackberry Farm so close by, right, that you know, people that are distributing their wine can kind of use Blackberry Farm as a test market, and then, oh, if something does really well, maybe we'll send a few cases to Knoxville too, since it's so close by. And then, you know, the people who get those at their restaurants or at their bars start spreading the word around it, and then perhaps, you know, those wines can make their ways into the larger scene. And so it's kind of interesting how Blackberry Farm, again, on the wine side of things, can help fuel more interesting wine options being available in Knoxville.
Well, on that note too, it's like Knoxville's had an interesting wine scene, and we've especially last year saw a lot of wine bars open up over in Farragut. There was Sparrow in kind of that beginning to get into North Knoxville. Double S Wine Bar reopened. Further up in Happy Holler, there's 00, which focused on natural wine, but also one of downtown's like big wine stores is primarily about natural wine, Downtown Wine and Spirits. So we have had like an interesting scene that is beginning to burgeon forth, especially within the last year. And from what I've seen, seems to be rather successful. Almost every time I've gone to 00 since it's opened, it's been pretty packed.
Yeah, well, the main reason I want to bring that up is just because we were talking about Blackberry Farm, and of course, food and wine go together. But it's also, you know, the bigger picture, sort of broader stories, right, is that things are being, you know, we're past the point of, oh, I wonder what will work in the downtown Knoxville market, to the point where now we've tried some new concepts and there's been, you know, some stuff has proven to have worked. And so now we're kind of at that next level in our food scene where, again, going from the beers and barbecue and burgers to, oh, you know, well, this this restaurant that might have been a little risky, it might have been risky to open up a open up an Italian restaurant like Amelia on Market Square. It might have been risky to open up, you know, something like Kefi over in the Old City, a Mediterranean concept 5 years ago, definitely 10 years ago. That, you know, you just wouldn't see that in downtown. And so it's more people are trying new concepts and proving that there is a taste here for it, which goes along with more people moving here, which we've talked about on the show before, too. There's a more diverse mix of folks in Knoxville. I think you're just going to see that ball just keep rolling and just kind of lead to more interesting concepts.
More interesting concepts as well as even more fine dining concepts. I feel like we've had a lot within the last few years. As we mentioned, J.C. Holdway has become like a pretty premier restaurant, but it's joined like Oliver Royale. Kefi is another example. But we also still have our burgers and barbecue whenever we want, and especially with a new concept coming in, the Humble Hog over on Gay Street next to Chivo, which he is gearing up to open soon. He is still kind of finalizing a few details, the owner there, but is pretty much bringing in more barbecue downtown. But he said he's working on like experimenting with it, being a little different with how he presents his barbecue.
Which I think is good, because one thing, I was just talking with somebody the other day, we were standing on Gay Street and kind of looking around, and we were saying, you know, there was bluegrass, folksy kind of bluegrass band playing at Suttry's, which I thought was nice. They've remodeled that place a little bit. And so I was like, I've never really seen live music in here. And then it was, you know, felt kind of East Tennessee. Then you go out on Gay Street, and we're like, you know, it doesn't really feel too East Tennessee. I feel like they could lean into it a little bit more in downtown Knoxville. So having like a barbecue spot, I mean, obviously Knoxville doesn't have a food. You could argue steam sandwiches, perhaps from Nixon's, is our food we identify with. But Nashville has the hot chicken. Memphis has the barbecue. We don't really have that identity, but still something, you know, leading into the Appalachia, the Southern, the Tennessee, to see a barbecue restaurant open up on Gay Street. I think that's kind of exciting. I think something else that's interesting about Knoxville's food scene is, one, you have like those resources we talked about with like Blackberry Farm feeding into our food scene, whether it's with food or with, you know, chefs, or whether it's with wine. You also have a lot of restaurants that have been around for a while now in downtown, sort of this new wave of restaurants, like the not the new wave, but like the, you know, the Tomato Head on Market Square and the Amelia, some of those staples that have been part of the downtown scene for a while. Those success stories have, you know, led to the owners of those restaurants passing on their knowledge to, you know, chefs and cooks who have worked their way up, and maybe have worked their way up into the scene now where they're ready to start their own concepts. So it's like a revolving cycle that kind of didn't really start, I feel like, until we really started to see this downtown renovation in the early 2000s. And now we've gone through, you know, it's been, you know, nearly 20 years perhaps that some of these restaurants have been open. And so they've had a lot of people come through their doors, and a lot of people have learned from their experience. So you'll see, you know, some people that worked for, you know, so-and-so in the past is now starting their own new concept. There's that. But there's also the level of, you know, when we think about diversity in the terms of who owns some of these downtown restaurants, what you'll notice if you look at the food scene is there are a lot of restaurants that share ownership with another restaurant. And, you know, talking about, I'll look at Cafe 4 for an example. Cafe 4 was a spot that was proven on Market Square that has since been sold. But the Clenaris family that originally owned it, they have since expanded to open Vita in the Vault, and they've since expanded to open up Kefi. And so I think, you know, having a successful restaurant in the downtown scene and being able to make money off that and reinvest that into new concepts, I think there's been a lot of people who like care about downtown or want to invest more in downtown. Or, I mean, if you don't want to look at it as optimistically, just have the money because they can and want to, you know, try new concepts downtown, probably don't have as big of a barrier of entry as a first-time restaurant owner to get into that downtown scene. But the fact that there have been some proven concepts over the years has led to more, just because owners are able to try new things. So you look at Clenaris family with those restaurants I just mentioned. You look at somebody like Mike Chase, who has, you know, the empire of East Tennessee restaurants between Calhoun's and Chesapeake's and Copper Cellar. You look at people like,
you've got Randy Burleson, who just recently reopened Bistro by the Tracks in Bearden.
Yeah.
But also kept Bistro by the Tracks in Happy Holler.
And Aubrey's. And so, and then, you know, just a couple other examples, people like, you could even say Scott West on Market Square, where those are more bars, but there are food as well, with Tommy Trent's and Bernadette's and Scruffy City Hall and Allison Appalachia and Preservation Pub. And then there's also Babaloo and Maple Hall share ownership. I mean, the list goes on and on. So there's people with the ability to invest in downtown because they've proven themselves downtown before. But there's also, you know, all this new knowledge that's being passed down as well that's allowing people to try new things. So it's a very exciting time to be in the food scene, I must say.
Yeah, and just like we've said, there's so many options and so many that I haven't tried yet that I've been dying to that I'm still getting around to. I still need to go to Rom's house over in Marble City Market. Did get to try Kianga's Kitchen recently, and it was delicious. Some of the best vegan food you can get in town, for sure.
Yeah, and I think the fact that we have one food hall already and a second one in the works that's expected to open soon tells you a lot about Knoxville's food scene, too, that there are at least, you know, at least 10 stalls at Marble City Market and however many spaces they have over at Kern's Bakery. The former Kern's Bakery is going to become Kern's Food Hall. You know, there's that many people that are trying to start something related to food here. And a lot of that is people that have had food trucks. That's something we didn't even get at, you know, in this conversation. But you think about all the breweries here. A lot of those breweries don't have food. What's the easiest way to get food to a brewery? Have a food truck.
Food truck.
And so I think the food truck plays a lot into it as well. But so you have across the board from food trucks to fine dining, right? Knoxville has a little bit of everything. And to answer the question that we had at the top of this podcast, does Pochke's national recognition trickle down and help out, you know, rising tides lifts all ships kind of thing? Or is this a, you know, one-off instance of success that we should still be excited for? It doesn't hurt, but I think, you know, other Knoxville restaurants are doing enough on their own that I think, you know, Pochke is just a piece of the puzzle to make this scene what it has the potential to be.
And I definitely think having something like national recognition there of, hey, this is being recognized as one of the best restaurants in the country helps it. So when people begin to visit Knoxville more, they're like, oh, that restaurant was great. I wonder what other restaurants they have, and definitely wanting to go out and try more and experiment more with what Knoxville has to offer. I mean, for example, Big Ears, the year that Pochke opened, like, is when it started getting recognized more by outside publications and nationally. Just having people influx come into Pochke just while they're here for a big event like that was huge for them. And I think that We'll begin to see that also with other restaurants as Big Ears comes up. Like, more people will come into the city and they'll be like, hey, that was great. What about Amelia downtown? What about Babaloo on Gay Street? What about Landing House over in South Knox?
And there's a lot of people, you know, chefs at one restaurant know the chefs at others and the owners know each other. So there's a lot of, there's still, you know, there's competition, but it's friendly competition still in downtown Knoxville. I think the big way that it helps, though, beyond like actually like, you know, directly helping, is just the fact that Pochke proved it. It doesn't have to be, and not that other restaurants haven't, but it doesn't have to be your burgers and beer and barbecue, that you can open something as different as a Jewish deli in downtown Knoxville, something that downtown has never really seen before. And if you have the right concept, there is an appetite for it. I think you've seen the same thing at Marble City Market with some of the more outside the box concepts that they've invited over there that have been able to stick around. There's a taste for it. And so, yeah, Pochke's success, Brother Wolf's success, Asteria Stella's success, that they've been recognized by Esquire. All these prove that Knoxville is a food city to be reckoned with. But I'm sure there's some stuff that we missed here on the show. So anyone who wants to throw their favorite restaurant in the hat for you know, one that should make the list perhaps next year when we do this again, let us know by sending me a direct message on Instagram at Knox Scruff. You can also send an email to ryan.wilusz@knoxnews.com. For you, Keenan, what's the best way to keep up with you and your work?
Just by visiting knoxnews.com. I'm also still on X at Special K2 Reel.
That's the number two, everybody. And of course, you know, while we appreciate the support here on the Scruffy Stuff, if you would like to take that support a step further, head on over to subscribe.knoxnews.com to take advantage of our latest offers and sign up to support local journalism today. A subscription will get you unlimited access to all of our downtown stories, all of our Knoxville stories, Knox County, East Tennessee, everything from growth and development to politics to entertainment and nightlife to food and dining to education. I mean, really anything you would want to know about this place we call home, you can find over at Knox News. And you can find in the description of this podcast links to both the Urban Knoxville newsletter and the Urban Knoxville Facebook group. Both of those are free resources that keep you even more plugged in and let you join in on the downtown discussion. And last but certainly not least, a review goes a long long way. So give us 5 stars on whatever platform you're listening on. Tell us what you love about the show and what you would like to hear us talk about next. And do not forget to sign up for alerts so that way you get a notification every time a new episode drops. Or just come back here on Tuesdays. We're on most major streaming platforms, and the topics we talk about are available at noxnews.com. So that does it here for the show today. Keenan, always a pleasure having you on.
Thanks for having me.
I will see you out there eating.
Oh, yeah. You know
it. Go have some foods.
Go get some good eats.
Till next time, everyone. Stay scruffy.